It takes up 230 pages. The procurement policy changes in the National Defense Authorization Act for 2017. And it has more than 100 provisions. Joining me with the highlights, procurement attorney Joseph Petrillo of Petrillo & Powell. And Joe, this one's a big one, even for an NDAA, huh?
Well, that's right. It hasn't been passed yet, but Congress has worked out their differences on the procurement provision. So I think this is what we'll see in the final enacted version.
All right. What do you think are the top most important changes people need to know about?
Well, there's a lot here, but the things that strike me as being most important are, first of all, there are new limits on the use of lowest price, technically acceptable evaluation methods.
This is something industry has really been pushing for, I think.
Absolutely. They're not happy with this at all. They think it opens the door to people providing very low price, substandard goods and services to DOD and getting away with that. And whether that's true or not, that's certainly been the position of a lot of folks in industry, and Congress has heard them. And they now say that this method is to be avoided in certain procurements to the maximum practicable extent. And those procurements are knowledge-based professional services like IT and cybersecurity, personal protective equipment, and knowledge-based training and logistics for contingency operations. And you can see how you might not want to go with the low bidder and things like that, where quality is likely to be very important. But beyond that, lowest price, technically acceptable buys require a contracting officer's justification. And there are there's a list of factors that have to be considered. Basically, the issue is whether or not the good or service can be adequately described in specifications, so you make sure you get what you need. And finding that quality differences that might be reflected in price differences are very unlikely to be present in any meaningful way.
The bill also has several provisions on task orders. Let's go into those.
Permitting DOD not to evaluate cost or price when awarding a multiple award task or delivery order contract is a new change, and it's really important. This deals with the very difficult problem of these multiple award task or delivery order contracts, particularly in the services area, where you're asking offerors to propose lots and lots of different types of labor categories, but there are no specific actual real-world task orders to be priced out. So either you make up task orders that you're not going to issue and you have an evaluation of those, or you predetermine the relative numbers of hours in each labor category, which of course is totally arbitrary and unlikely to be reflective of any individual task order and maybe of any group of task orders. So there's been a real difficulty with figuring out how to deal with that. And GSA and their OASIS and the second version of Alliant procurements moved away from that type of evaluation and simply went with the highest ranked technical offers and then evaluating whether or not their prices were fair and reasonable. Here, Congress is now authorizing DOD not to look at those cost or prices where the situation is that the government awards a contract to each offeror that is, one, responsible, two, meets RFP requirements, and three, is likely to propose fair and reasonable pricing. And when you meet those requirements, you can postpone the evaluation of cost or price to the actual award of task orders or delivery orders.
We're speaking with Joe Petrillo, an attorney with Petrillo and Powell. Does this then presuppose that because it's a task order, the contractor has already negotiated to get onto the vehicle in the first place?
Yeah, the vehicle now becomes more a pre-qualification. You get folks who meet RFP requirements, and they're on the list, and then you compete individual task orders, and look at price or cost at that point, where there's a real requirement to be fulfilled and not some nominal hypothetical requirement at the contract stage.
And also on the task order front, there is a raise in the threshold for protests of DOD task or delivery orders.
Right. There are two changes there. First, the threshold for protests of DOD task or delivery orders has gone up from $10 million to $25 million. So that's a fairly significant raise. The second change is that the ability to protest task orders in for civilian agencies had expired, that the sunset provision had kicked that out as of September 30. It's been restored, and it's at the same $10 million threshold that existed previously, and it's now permanent authority. So we have some changes in what task orders can be protested.
And let's talk about the one that you list here, changing technical data rights to be consistent with the new modular open systems approach to major defense systems. What's going on there?
Before I do that, let me just modify that when we were talking about the orders previously, the thresholds changing, that would be task or delivery orders. It would apply to both. But to continue now with the modular, with tech data issues, Congress is trying to move DOD to a modular open systems approach for major defense systems. And I think the theory there is to make it easier to change portions of weapon systems and to preserve competition later on for those changes if the interface requirements for the different modules are known and understood and there's no a barrier to competition in having that information. So there now is a provision, or will be a provision rather, in the DOD statute requiring agencies to get at least government purpose license rights in the data they need to provide interfaces with different between modules. This is a further evolution of a process that started with the concept of form, fit, and function data that's been in the regulations forever. And then recently, segregation and reintegration data is being requested, is being sought and obtained. And the the regulations on that have been somewhat unsatisfactory because it isn't quite clear what that data consists of. But in this instance, the purpose of the data is going to be more clear. And so hopefully what data is being requested or required is going to be more understandable.
Joe Petrillo is an attorney with the law firm Petrillo and Powell. Thanks so much for walking us through that. And I guess there's a lot more. We could probably spend hours on it, couldn't we?
You could spend hours, absolutely. But I guess we don't have that much time.
No, well, just go read it. We'll have a link to it. We've also got perspective from the Professional Services Council on the NDAA. You can find it all at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.